Thank you, Jim. So good to see you this morning. I was going to ask if anybody remembered any of the message, what they remembered of last evening's message, but I thought that likely the only thing you would remember was the fact the alarm clock went off in the middle. So I want to ask that this morning. Good to have you with us, and as mentioned last evening, I'd like to begin a series on the crowns, at least five of them, and trust that the Spirit of God in His own good and gracious way would bless us as we consider them together. We're in a race, you and I. Are we winning? I trust we are. I trust that we are sincerely working for the Lord and in His own good and gracious way, striving for a crown. The name Mickey Thompson is hardly a household name. A number of years ago, it was more so. Mickey Thompson was an auto racer. His team built the best and the fastest cars. They were cars that usually at the beginning of every race, in fact, the first 29 in which Mickey Thompson entered in the Indy 500, he led the race for a while. But the problem was that although his cars were good starters, they were poor finishers. Often they broke down. And he never did win the coveted checkered flag. The point is simply this. It's one thing to start the race well. It's another thing to finish it well. And I'm looking into the faces of many of God's dear people. And I know that it is your desire to finish the race well. So let's think about the crowns and how we might win them as we turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 24. 9:24, 1 Corinthians. Now ye know, know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize. So run that ye may obtain. And every man that striveth for mastery is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible. I therefore so run, not as uncertainly, so fight I, not as one that beateth the air, but I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest that by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. May the Lord bless to us the reading of His precious holy word. As we consider the crowns and Paul's teaching thereto, we will notice that this man of God was very familiar with the Grecian games, and he draws parallels between the two. The Isthmian games were second only to the great Olympics, and there were some specific rules and regulations that had to be adhered to by any who are involved in those games. For example, all competitors in the games were required to spend at least 10 months in their preparation and training. Beloved, you and I, who are striving for crowns, we are now in our training period. That period of time when we prepare for that which is to come. They had to agree that they would not resort to any unfair tricks or practices. If they did so, they would be immediately disqualified. And then, of course, at the close of each event, or on the day in which the awards were presented, then those who had successfully completed, those who had won, would be awarded a crown. It was a crown made up of olive leaves, or branches rather, and formed into a crown that would be placed on the victor's brow. He then would be given a parade, and through the streets of Athens he would be taken to the acclaim of those who watch. It was a great day, a day of victory. I don't know how you feel about it, beloved, but I believe with all of my heart that the day in which the crowns will be distributed is a day soon to come. I believe we are near the rapture. It is not near, it is imminent. I believe it will be followed by the judgment seat of Christ and the subsequent awarding of the crown. We're near that day. I wonder what that really and truly means to you and me. Some of us might be inclined to say, well, that's okay for the young people. They have life before them. And they can go for the gold. But I'm certain that there are a number here this morning, and you still have that passion to go for the crown that He, in His goodness, will award. As we look at these few verses, 24 to 27, I'd like to think with you of the contestants in the race, as well the conditioning for the race, and finally, the crown. The contestants. What do we read? Why, in the 24th verse, we read these words, "Know ye not that they which run in a race run all?" Beloved, each one of us is in this race. We're in a race that we trust by the goodness and the grace of God we will win. Unlike the race of the Grecian Olympics or the Olympics of today, where there are first, second, third prize, everyone who enters this race is eligible. And the prizes are not limited to three. And so, may I encourage you, as I encourage myself, to be sold out to God and to live for Him, to honor Him, to please Him, and to strive for the crown that is before us. All of us are in this race. We entered it on conversion's day. And in any race, competitors is made up of volunteers, people who have desired to be a part of it. And beloved, you are a part of the race. You entered, as I have stated, when you accepted Christ as Lord and Savior. And may in the goodness of God, you strive for mastery. I like the way the Amplified renders this verse as it says, "Do you not know that in a race all members compete? So run your race that you may lay hold of the prize," and get this, "and make it yours." Beloved, let us sincerely strive for the winning of the crown. In world-class events, as I have mentioned, there are only three. But our gracious God does not limit the number of crowns to three. The poet said, "There's a crown and you can win it if you go in Jesus' name." And so regardless of age, experience in the walk for God, let us go in for striving for the crown. Remember, as Paul wrote to the Galatian saints in 2 and verse 2, he said this, "You did run well." What, or a better word is who? Who did hinder you? What was it, or who was it, that got in your way? And it's possible that there are some of us here this morning, and in the early days of Christian experience, we ran well. There was nothing brought greater delight than being in the Word and serving God in a variety of ways in the assembly. Yet, something happened in the process. We were slowed in our race for God. Oh, he said, who did hinder you? Don't run in vain, but let us strive for mastery in these events. This morning we read about the incorruptible crown. Paul makes that very clear. An incorruptible crown. Others have striven for a corruptible, but ours, beloved, is an incorruptible crown. One day and very soon after, having won the event, the crown that rested upon the victor's brow and of which he was so proud, soon withered up and dried. And it was nothing but a group of dried sticks. Beloved, the crown that our God gives is incorruptible, and it will never fade or die. Let us be active in the service of God. Paul did not want to run in vain. He wanted to run to win. Story is told of two Martians observing activity on planet Earth. One turned to another and he said, what are they doing? He said, they are going. Where are they going? They're not going anywhere. They're just going. And that's so descriptive of our society, isn't it? And at times even our Christianity. We're involved and we're doing things, going hither and thither. And yet when it comes down to meaningful contribution to the cause of Christ, beloved, we're missing the boat. And so may we this morning hour have that desire to win the incorruptible crown that will be awarded to those who have been victorious over the flesh. And that's the purpose for the awarding of the incorruptible crown. It will be given to those who have experienced and striven for mastery over the flesh, the desires, the sins of the flesh, those things that would hinder us in our walk and in our fellowship with God. The incorruptible crown will be awarded for that purpose, for that reason. It used to be that years ago, as we ministered to young people to strive to be victorious over the lusts of the flesh. But that is no longer the case. Even for mature adults, men and women in their 50s and in their 60s, who have gone the way of the flesh and violated the principles and the laws of this holy book, and they have found themselves entangled and ensnared by passion, lust, and sin in the things of the world. And men and women who at one time lived faithful and true to God, bringing honor and glory to that lovely name, have fallen prey to the lust of the flesh. And so Paul is encouraging the people of God at Corinth, where sin was rampant in the fellowship, tragically enough, to go in for the winning of the incorruptible crown that would be awarded those who obtain victory over the flesh. Notice with me the fact that as far as these contestants were concerned, in the Isthmian Games, they had and should have good skills when it came to the race. And there were certain things that they had to do. I remember well watching an event in the Commonwealth Games that were staged just a few years ago in Auckland, New Zealand. And it was a running race. And I watched the young man as he came very close to the end of the race. And he looked back. He broke the cardinal rule of running. You never look back. And he looked back. And he lost a half a step, and he lost the race. And beloved, even as believers, sometimes mature believers, We look back at the world and all it has to offer. We lose in a race. Tragically so. But there was conditioning. Notice verse 25. For the mastery, for every man that striveth for mastery is temperate in all things. He is temperate in all things. This means that he has to abstain from unwholesome foods. There are those foods that will add weight. There are others that will keep the weight down. He will exercise well. As far as his temperate attitude was concerned, he would abstain from unwholesome foods. He would abstain from wine, from strong drink. He would abstain from sexual practices and immoral practices, that in turn his body might be fit and strong. He wouldn't go in for the enjoyment of junk foods. Tragically, in our Christian experience, we go in for the eating of junk food. Whether it's the television, whether it's the printed page, whether it's sport activities, and I'm not preaching against these, beloved, but I believe with all of my heart that in many instances these things are depriving us of the strength that we need of a spiritual nature to win the incorruptible crown. And it's sad. It's tragic to see. If you and I don't feed on the Word of God, the inspired, inerrant, infallible, holy Word of God, we will be limited in what we will accomplish in the race for God. And there must be that time when we spend time alone with God over the Word of God. Runner in the Isthmian Games would abstain from strong drink. Why? He would lose control of himself. It would sap his strength. It would take his energy. And he wouldn't be able to run a good race. He would lose control of himself. Further, as far as his habits were concerned, he would not be involved sexually. That would take his mind off the race. And beloved, there are so many things, you know them as well as I do, that can take our minds off the things of God, when all the time we should be totally occupied with Him who loved us and gave Himself for us. No doubt this was one of the reasons that Paul wrote to the Thessalonians in 1 Epistle 5:22 to say these words, abstain from all appearances of evil. Anything that appears to be evil, abstain from it, that in turn you might give yourself wholly and solely to the service of God and the winning of an incorruptible crown. Beloved, it's your privilege and it's mine to strive for these things, to lay aside each weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, that we might run the race and run it for His glory. Are there things in your life and in mine that would hinder us in our service for Him? You know what they are in yours, as I know them in mine. Oh then, at the encouragement of the Word of God, let us lay aside those things that so easily beset us. There are some things, as we run our race for God and for this incorruptible crown, that have to be brought under control. The desires of the flesh, those things that would want to be satisfied. And yet, we, as the one in charge, led of God and moved and motivated by the Spirit of God, have to, beloved, bring these things under control, that in turn we might know and serve well the one who loved us and died for us. again, Paul draws from the imagery of the game. He moves from the racetrack to the boxing ring. And notice what he says. He says, I so fight, in verse 26, so fight I, not as one that beateth the air. When Paul was matched up against an opponent for God, he wanted to make marks for God. He wanted to beat his opponent. He wanted to make certain that every blow he let go found its target and its mark. And consequently, he wanted to make an impact for God. He didn't want just to strike the meaningless air. But when he let go of a punch, he wanted it to find its mark and to accomplish something for his beloved master. The wrestling contestant was speaking one day with his coach. He said to his coach in a note of dismay, he says, "You mean if I'm going to wrestle, I can't smoke, drink, or run around?" "Oh yes," said the coach, "you can do those things, but you can't win that way." Beloved, in the race for God, we can be occupied with the illegitimate, and we don't win. Those things that so easily beset us. He says in verse 27, "But I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest that by any means, when I preach to others, I myself should be a castaway." He said, "I keep my body and I bring it into subjection." I like the way Darby renders that verse. He says this, "But I keep under my body and bring it into captivity." I'm going to make my body do what I want to do, it to do, that in turn I might bring honor and glory to my beloved Lord. Interesting thought here. He said, "I'm going to make it subject to my will. I want to bring it. I keep under my body and bring it into subjection." He wanted above everything else that body to do what he wanted it to do. I remember well Helen and I being entertained in a home of one of the assembly couples a number of years ago. They had three fine young men, all of whom were interested in rowing. And they competed to make the Canadian Olympic team. Unfortunately, they didn't make the Olympics, but they did represent our country in several competitions. And I remember one evening as we were there for dinner, we had the main course, and Brian, a boy about 19 at the time, excused himself before the dessert came. A little while later, after we'd finished our calorie-laden dessert, Brian came in. And here he was. He was perspiration from head to toe. I said, "Brian, where have you been?" He said, "I've been out in the garage working on the rowing machine." He was making his body do what he wanted to do, it to do, and he was prepared to deprive himself of those things that he knew would harm him. Great guy. Fantastic physique. One day he was visiting in our home, and as he left, I gave him a poke on the chest and I said, "You keep working on that body and you'll soon have one like mine." And he roared. Beautiful body, but it was a body under control. Oh, that spiritually speaking, beloved, we might subject. The thought is to buffet, to beat. Paul is saying, "I want to beat my opponent, and I want to beat him about the eyes. I want it to be obvious that my blows have found their mark, and I wanted his face to be all puffed up and out of shape." He meant business for God. And I asked myself, is I ask you, dear fellow believer, do we really and truly mean business for God today? We have a video presentation that we sometimes show relative to the Family Bible Hour radio ministry. And it is built on the theme and on the song, "So Little Time and So Much to Do." Beloved, that's the way it is. We're soon to hear the shout. Are we actively involved in the work of God? Building up the assembly, building up the saints, reaching out for the lost, striving for the honor and the glory of our beloved Lord. May that be our desire before God. Notice over in James chapter 1 and verse 4, if you will. James 1 and verse 14, rather. Notice what he says. Seems to me that as James is writing, there's a formula here for disaster. So we must keep it in mind as we run the race for the incorruptible crown, that which is given for mastery over the flesh. Verse 14. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Then, when lust hath conceived, the thought is there. It bringeth forth sin, the act, and when it is finished, it bringeth forth death. Do not err, my beloved brethren. He's encouraging them not to follow the formula for disaster, not to be tempted by his own lust, to be enticed, to be see that lust conceive and bring forth sin, knowing that when it is finished, right, it brings forth death, tragically enough. So, Paul says, not as uncertainly. I don't want to run without an aim, says the Amplified. Paul wanted to have objectives in his life for God. He wanted to have purpose. And as far as his life for God was concerned, it did have purpose. He wanted to win Christ. He wanted to bring honor and glory to Him. He was not going to be occupied with those things that were of the world and smelled of the world. He wanted, above all else, to be in subjection to his Lord, his passions, his thoughts, everything else under his control. And that being the case then, he would be able to move forward for his God, having objectives and purpose in life. I wonder what it is that you and I do for God, really and truly. Is it just a matter of, coming along to the assembly meeting, fellowshipping with the saints, enjoyable as that is. But beloved, there's more. You and I have been redeemed to serve the one who gave himself for us. Not as uncertainly, he says. He wanted to have an aim, an objective. He didn't want to box striking the air. He wanted to strike his adversary and to make marks and points for God. What does he say in 27? He feared lest after he had preached to others, he himself should be just set aside. That's a better rendering than the word cast forth. He didn't want to be set aside for no further use for God. You ever seen the sign in the department store merchandise? Slightly soiled, greatly reduced. Beloved, how? Oh, it does. Out of touch and fellowship with God, our effectiveness for Him is lost, and we fail to serve, love, and honor the one who loved and died for us. No? There wasn't the concern about losing his salvation. there was the concern about being set aside. One of my favorite Sunday school teachers as a little boy was a man whose name I will not mention. He recently went to be with the Lord. I will never forget that man. I loved him. Maybe it was because he gave me a jackknife. I hope there were other reasons. But he got involved in business. And he manufactured and sold ice cream. The years passed. Helen and I reached that age when we were now attending senior school. But I think it was the only time that that man had been in the chapel in possibly 25, 30, 40 years. He and his wife were sitting directly opposite us. And I said to him, calling him by name, I said, you know, I remember so clearly the day my dad took me as a little boy down to where you were making ice cream. And as it came out of the machine, you took a ladle and you offered it to us to eat. Never forget it. I said, you did well in the ice cream business, didn't you? He said, yes, Arnett. He said, we made a lot of money. His wife, who had remained true to God, sat at his side. She said, yes, Orvie, we did. And we lost our testimony. We lost our testimony. Who wants the money if it means losing in the race for God? He lost. He's gone out into eternity now at the end of a wasted life. Beloved, who wants that? Says Paul, as far as I'm concerned, I don't want to run as uncertainly without aim, purpose, or objective. I want to fight not like one who misses with every blow. I want my trained blows for God in fellowship with God to find their mark against the attacks of Satan. I want to be used for Him. I don't want to be set aside. I want to run well. I want to run well. Then finally, verse 25, look at that again. He says, now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown. But we, I love the plural aspect of the word. We, he's embracing the Corinthian saints. And he says, we are in a different race. We're running to obtain an incorruptible crown. Beloved, theirs was no group of branches and twigs from an olive tree formed into a crown to be placed on the victor's brow? No, not for a moment. It was an incorruptible crown, undefiled, that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you. Beloved, may you and I then have a purpose, a desire, an objective under God to go on for Him, to do what we can, knowing His direction and His leadership, that in turn we might ultimately obtain that crown. What will the crown be? I don't know. But I believe with all of my heart, it will be worthy of the giver. It will be worthy of the one who loved me and died for me at Calvary. It will be worthy of the one who said His grace was sufficient, and would encourage me to live for Him, to strive for Him, to serve Him. That in turn you and I might be able to say with this great illustrious preacher, this man of God, as the shadows fall across his life, and soon execution is to be his, to be able to say with him, I have fought a good fight. I finished my course. I've kept the faith. We could eyeball it this morning, each one of us. I'm confident that our desire would be to keep the faith, to serve one well, the one who loved us and died for us, that in turn we might bring honor and glory to him. And says Paul, know ye not? They which run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize. So run ye, so run that ye may obtain. And every man that striveth for mastery is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible. Therefore, so run, not as uncertainly. So fight I, not as one that beateth the air. But I keep under my body, and bring it into subjection, lest that by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be unapproved or laid aside. Let's pray. We'll win the incorruptible crown. Father, thank you for the privilege of being together with the dear people of God. We pray that each of us will have the joy of winning a crown to lay at the nail-pierced feet. Pray your blessing now, and as we look forward to journeying with Peter, we pray your rich and abundant